Prologue. The Year of Dwarvenkind Reborn. Dale Reckoning, 1488. Brother Afafrenfir repeatedly told himself not to be taken in by the old man's appearance. He seemed so withered, so frail, a wisp of a human whose shrunken features would have most people guessing him to be over a century old. They'd be right, although a guess of a century would be about half of the man's actual age. Afafrenfir spun to the left, rolling fast around and around, keeping away from his opponent. He made it to the weapon rack and pulled forth a long sword, its blade thin and curving. Afafrenfir whirled about, presenting the weapon suddenly, as if he expected the old man to be standing right behind him, ready to strike. But Cain, Grand Master of Flowers, remained on the raised circular platform in the center of the large round room. He stood at seeming peace, relaxed and empty-handed. He hadn't chased Afafrenfir after their last open-handed exchange of blows, and neither had he moved to any of the other weapon racks spaced about the curving walls to answer Afafrenfir's katana. Brother Afafrenfir stalked back toward the dais, then stepped up to stand across from his opponent, who still did not react. The tip of his sword held steady, pointed right at Cain as the younger monk stalked in, carefully turning his feet and shifting his weight to remain in perfect balance, standing in such a way as to allow him a sudden retreat or to dart out to the side. "You are doing well with your open palm," Cain said to him in a tone so very soothing. Magically soothing, Afafrenfir realized, only when he noted the dip in his sword tip under his drooping eyelids. "Bah!" he cried, shaking himself from the fog, and he leaped forward, sword stabbing. But Cain's left arm shot up vertically and slapped out just a bit, backhanding the blade on its side and pushing the stab harmlessly to the left. "Retract and stab!" The same hand came back to center, forearm hitting the blade and pushing it to the old monk's right. "Retract and stab!" The left arm vertically swept another backhand and brought another near miss, so close, so tempting. Afafrenfir executed three more sudden and powerful stabs, and each time he thought he had a hit, right up until the very moment the blade slid to the side of the Grand Master of Flowers, close enough to shave him if he had a beard of any length or volume. Another thrust went for the old monk's gut, and Afafrenfir cleverly added a left-footed kick for Cain's hip. But now it was Cain's right hand coming across to turn the blade, combined with a sudden movement into a stork-like pose, his right leg snapping up to intercept Afafrenfir's kick. Afafrenfir's foot struck Cain's shin hard, but Cain's bent leg only bent more, absorbing the impact, stealing the sharpness of the blow. Suddenly vulnerable, Afafrenfir couldn't even wait for his kicking leg to return to the ground, instead pivoting on his right foot, rotating his heel in quickly, pushing forward his kicking leg and punching out with his left hand. But Cain's hands were quicker. His left looped over the angled sword, pushing it out wider as his right hand disengaged the blade and snapped out suddenly, viper-like, striking first, slamming Afafrenfir's ribs just under his left breast. It wasn't a typically sharp strike, crunching at the point of impact, and instead felt more like a sudden, immovable brace, as if Afafrenfir had crashed into a stone wall. A moving stone wall, as Cain's hand kept driving forward undeniably. Afafrenfir felt the monk's ki releasing through that strike, shoving him with tremendous force. He felt as if he should be able to resist that combination of physical and spiritual blows. He was twice this withered old monk's weight. He had to be stronger, much stronger. He had to resist, but he could not. His left hook came around but was short of the mark, so very far short of the mark, and only when seeing the pathetic strike, missing by feet, not inches, did Afafrenfir understand that he was flying backward, finally stumbling to a stop, but nearly tumbling end over end on the lower part of the floor, a dozen feet and more from Grandmaster Cain. Afafrenfir brought his hands up and out to either side, one clinched tightly about the sword, the other balled into a tight fist. He tightened his jaw, too, and flexed his muscles in a sudden and powerful movement, forcing blood to flow through him with power and the healing power of his own ki. Down came his arms, and the powerful young monk called upon more of his energy pool, physical and spiritual, to enact a sudden and powerful leap, landing in a roll just before Grandmaster Kane. He came to his feet with a powerful stab and bore in with kicks, cuts, and punches, a whirling machine of devastation. Kane picked off every strike, but Afra Frenfir moved with such startling power and precision that he felt no counters from the mighty opponent. Across went the sword, missing, though whether Kane had ducked it or jumped it, Afra Frenfir didn't even know, and didn't even care as he executed the sudden, also futile backhand. He didn't mind the second miss at all, for the backhand was for nothing more than to properly align his blade. As it came back out to the right, Afra Frenfir rolled the sword with a flip of his wrist and rolled his arm with a flip of his shoulder, lifting the blade up high with startling suddenness. Down and across he swung. Again he missed. And again he knew he would miss, even shortening the swing. For this too was a feint, and Afra Frenfir continued his follow-through, bringing the sword and his arm down and around, using the momentum in a sudden flip up and over, ending with the perfect execution of his sword coming around in an overhead swing, second hand joining the first on its long hilt, bringing more weight to the downward stroke, a cut thrumming with lethality. Even though the blade was blunted for practice, Afra Frenfir felt a pang of guilt for the headache he would bring to Kane when the old monk awakened. But no, his downward chop was met by Kane's arms, uplifted above him in a cross, and as the sword connected, the very moment it connected, the eye blink of its touching flesh, Kane's arms uncrossed. Even had the blade been sharp enough to cut stone, the impact with the old monk's arms was too short for any serious bite, and Afra Frenfir doubted that any steel in the land would have been strong enough to withstand Kane's scissor. Out went Kane's arms, out flew the broken half of the sword blade, and before Afra Frenfir could even register the movement, Kane's right hand swooped down and in, then shot straight up, wrist cocked, palm up and rising, slamming the sword hilt under Afra Frenfir's hands. Up went Kane's hand, driving, pushing the half-sword right from Afra Frenfir's grasp and sending it flying. Afra Frenfir went into a desperate flurry, striking and kicking, left and right, up high and down low. So did Kane, the monastic brothers exchanging a blur of heavy strikes and kicks, too many to count, too many for Afra Frenfir to even take note of any individually. He didn't know how he was blocking Kane's barrage, just as he didn't know how Kane was blocking his. For he was past his own consciousness then, into a zone of pure reaction, muscle memory overwhelming any notion of planned sequence. But then a miss. A missed block by Kane. Afra Frenfir's right cross straight. It didn't connect, but he had Kane dodging awkwardly down to his left. Or so Afra Frenfir thought, until he jabbed out with his left, for at that moment, he felt Grandmaster Kane's right foot sweeping out and around his own planted right leg, and when Kane's right palm snapped up to intercept, Afra Frenfir felt an immovable object there, one that forced him backward over Kane's tripping leg as he extended. Kane completed his move by driving that blocking palm forward and driving his right leg powerfully back, dumping Afra Frenfir to the ground. A desperate backward roll brought Afra Frenfir to his feet, and he was amazed at how quickly he had executed that escape, even though Kane was right there before him, hand flowing in a blur of chops and punches. Working hard and brilliantly, Afra Frenfir deflected or absorbed those blows, putting him in what seemed a clench with the Grand Master, the two only a foot apart. Their arms interlocked out and down to either side. Afra Frenfir moved to headbutt, but before he even got going, he felt a stunning blow on his face. A kick. A kick. Impossible, his mind screamed at him. He and Kane were too close. How could Kane possibly have kicked him in the face when they were barely a foot apart? He didn't believe it. He refused to believe it, even when he was sitting on the ground. Afra Frenfir shook his head, shook the swirling stars out of his eyes, and looked up to find Kane staring down at him, extending a hand to help him back to his feet. He took the hand and started up. but slumped back down to his bum, then half fell, half rolled down to his side. Sometime later, he knew not how long, Afafrenfir propped himself up on his elbow and looked at his opponent, his dear friend, who sat cross-legged before him. "I thought my forward flip and chop maneuver effective," Afafrenfir said, spitting blood with every word. He had a pretty sizable gash in his lip, he knew, and the ache in his jaw sent waves of sharp fire with each movement. "It would kill almost any opponent," Kane congratulated. "Not you," Kane shrugged. "No." "Drizzt?" Afafrenfir teased, for the dark elf had taken his place as Kane's private student. After a moment and a pensive pause, Kane shrugged again, but added no verbal denial. "If Drizzt and Afafrenfir fought, on whom would Grandmaster Kane place his wager?" Afafrenfir asked. "Grandmaster Kane wants for nothing, so he has no need of wagers," Kane answered. "Pretend." "You may not like my answer." Afafrenfir laughed, then groaned and grabbed at his face. He pinched his bloody nose between his thumb and index finger and pushed it to the side. That made his teeth hurt, and he suspected a crack in the bone from the bottom of his nose to his gum line. "If you could defeat me, why would you bother challenging the Mistress of Winter?" Kane asked then, and Afafrenfir looked at him with surprise at the change in topic. "Mistress Savan awaits my second challenge?" he asked, a not subtle reminder that Savan had defeated Afafrenfir the previous season. The monk tried to keep the eagerness out of his voice. He had been chasing Savan for a long time now, both before and after his defeat, and had nearly recovered and improved enough to challenge her a second time to become the master of the East Wind. But Savan, too, perhaps spurred by Afafrenfir's surge, had trained hard and had climbed to the next rank before Afafrenfir could formally initiate that second challenge. She was now the Mistress of Winter, and Afafrenfir had attained the unclaimed rank of Master of the East Wind without proving himself in training combat against any of the three monks at the Monastery of the Yellow Rose ranked above him: Savan, the Mistress of Winter, Periwinkle Shin, the Master of Spring, and Kane, Grand Master of Flowers. Kane nodded, but now the rank immediately above Afafrenfir was occupied, and there could be only one. For Afafrenfir to become the Master of Winter, he had to defeat the current Mistress of Winter, Savan. Then he would have to defend his new title, most likely against a resurgent Savan, or perhaps the rising Master of the West Wind, Halavash, who was, by all accounts, also making great strides in his training, and also rumored to be working quietly with Grandmaster Kane. Will Grandmaster Kane bet on that fight? No. If he did, would he know which to bet upon? Yes. If he did, would Grandmaster Kane think it a safe bet? Afafrenfir pressed. Kane grinned at that and answered, "Yes," then started walking away. "May we both live long enough so that one day I might properly challenge you," Afafrenfir called after him. Kane stopped and held still for a moment, then slowly turned about. "Brother Afafrenfir, you are my friend. Through you and with you, I and we have accomplished great deeds for the good of the folk. And so I say this, and hope you hear it as my most important lesson of all. This cannot be your goal, to take the title of Grand Master of Flowers. I only wish to challenge you, and to defeat you because in that victory I will see my own improvement," Afafrenfir answered. Kane nodded. "Your own improvement," he agreed. "The competition is within yourself, my friend. The striving for physical and spiritual peace and perfection. And yet, we challenge each other to measure that improvement." "What is your goal?" Kane asked, You just said it. No, Cain replied. It is not your goal. Never think of it as your goal. It is your journey. It is how you make sense of your existence and peace with the tumult of the mortal self and the uncertainty of the ending we all know we must one day face. All in the Order of St. Solar strive to be as Grandmaster Cain, Afrafrenfir said. The scribe who undertakes a tome, seeking the goal of finishing a tome, pursuing the goal single-mindedly, diminishes the experience of those months of penning, surrenders the joy, emotions, insights, and memories of his journey through the process. So I ask again, what is your goal? Afrafrenfir stared at him blankly. You have no goal, Grandmaster Cain answered his own question. What is your journey? To learn, to live, to grow, to move toward the truth, Afrafrenfir answered. The truth? The truth of myself, the truth of all that is around me. Grandmaster Cain smiled with satisfaction and nodded his approval. Do not lose sight of that, Cain warned as he departed, or you will relinquish the title of Master of Winter very quickly after you have achieved it. It took Afrafrenfir a moment to realize the implications of Cain's last words. The Grandmaster, so wise and knowing, fully expected him to defeat Sivan. Overwhelmed, he slumped back onto the floor. He still had no idea how Cain had kicked him in the face with such force when the two had been practically face to face. Someday he would understand, he thought, and he put it out of mind. It would come in time, or it would not, along the trails and trials of his physical and spiritual journey. Afrafrenfir sat on a high rocky bluff, a tight ledge after a difficult climb, and one that held great notoriety with the Order of St. Solars. For from this place, a century and a half before, the great Cain had transcended his physical body and become one with the multiverse. Afrafrenfir had his legs crossed tightly before him, his hands on his knees, palms up, thumb tapping his index finger. His breathing was slow and perfectly steady, the exhale and inhale at exactly the same length. The monk's mind was deep inside and far without all at once. He had never been more away from his own body, yet had never felt less removed from it. He felt his goal nearing, felt as if he had at last learned the bonds of his physical limitations, the very glue that gave Afrafrenfir form. He didn't feel the cold bite of the high mountain wind. He didn't hear it in his ears, nor the squawking of the great condors that drifted about on the updrafts of the high mountain. For the immediate area didn't matter. His focus was inside himself and all about, everywhere, without. He teased at the glue with his will, felt as if he was weakening the bonds. He could break them altogether, he was confident, and when he did, he would know eternity. He would transcend his mortal coil. He would become one with everything. Thinking about it interrupted Afrafrenfir's needed concentration, though. The memory burned within him, for he had done this before, but with help. Grandmaster Cain had been within him, possessing him, sharing their form. When the great white dragon had reared before them, Cain had broken Afrafrenfir's physical bonds, had unglued the multitude of particles that had come together to make the collection, the being known as Afrafrenfir. The beauty of that experience was not easily forgotten, even though it had only been a short journey to the place of everything. For Cain had reformed him almost immediately, as soon as the dragon's murderous freezing breath had been expended, so that Afrafrenfir could then slay the worm. The monk fell back into his meditation, forced himself to patience, and again settled in that place of deep calm, a place both empty of thought and contemplative at the same time. He searched out the bonds once more. He felt the glue and began to disperse it, to disperse himself. A hand slapped down on his shoulder, startling him before he could truly begin the process. Afrafrenfir's eyes popped open wide. He felt the wind. He heard the wind. He snapped his head to the side to find Grandmaster Kane standing there, slowly shaking his head.
"You are not ready," Kane told him.
Afrafrenfir blinked repeatedly, shocked.
"Come, let us return to the monastery," Kane said, holding out a hand.
Afrafrenfir shook his head.
"This is not your place, nor your choice, nor your journey," he blurted.
Kane didn't blink and didn't retract his hand. "You are the Grand Master of Flowers, the greatest of the Order of St. Solars ever," Afrafrenfir said. "And with all respect, with more respect than I have ever known for another, I tell you again, this is not your place."
"It is my place."
"Because you are the Grand Master of Flowers?"
"Because I am your friend," Kane said.
"I can do this," the younger monk insisted.
"I know."
"Then?"
"But you cannot yet undo this."
Afrafrenfir started to reply, but held quiet and just stared.
"You will transcend," Kane explained. "You will become as one with the everything, and you will know harmony and beauty beyond anything you have ever imagined. But that will be the end of Afrafrenfir."
"Death?"
"Of this existence, yes.
And death is the end of everything?"
"I do not know," Kane admitted. "When you first transcend, it is not the end. You know this too from our journey together from your body. But the time to return is short, days, not months. And what may come after that period, when there is no return, I do not know. For what is after that, we have only faith."
"I have faith. Do you?"
Kane shrugged. "I do not know what I do not know. I do, however, have hope."
"Then I will return quickly, before that point where I cannot."
"No, you will not. You are not ready."
"You do not think me strong enough?" Afrafrenfir asked, doing well to keep any anger out of his question. "You think I will not be able—"
"You will not want to," Kane interrupted. "Your ties to this place are not strong enough for you to consider turning about once you have initiated that journey."
"What does that even mean?"
Kane shrugged. "It means that you are not ready to take this step from your mortal coil. Almost, but not yet. There are several ranks before you. Patience, I beg."
"The world is a dangerous place. Perhaps I will lose my chance and will be taken from this world when it is not of my choosing." Kane shrugged as if that hardly mattered.
"Not yet," he said. "As your friend, I beg of you."
Afrafrenfir winced at that, both disappointed yet truly flattered to hear such concern from this greatest of monks.
"You came back," he said, because he couldn't think of anything else to say. "I almost did not," he said quietly, and that startled Afrafrenfir. "I almost did not even think to. I was much older than you are now, and much stronger in the ways of our order, though
fear not, my friend, for you too will rise to that level of mind and body perfection. Of that I do not doubt. Unless, of course, you follow through with this transcendence, and then you are gone forevermore." Kane held out his hand once more.
"I wish to make this journey," Afrafrenfir said. "I know, and I know why."
Afrafrenfir's gaze went from the hand to Grandmaster Kane's eyes.
"Because of him, Parbid, whom you loved," Cain said. Because he is there, you hope, waiting, and his embrace you wish again, more than anything.
Ava Frenfear's mouth hung open. He tried to shake his head in denial, but failed miserably.
Nothing in the multiverse is more powerful than love, my friend, Cain said,
and he smiled and moved his hand. Ava Frenfear took the offered assistance and unwound his legs, easily rising beside his friend.
Do you think he is there, Grandmaster? Do you think he waits for me?
Cain shrugged, and Ava Frenfear understood that the man had no answer and would not lie to him for the sake of comfort.
You already said it, Cain did reply. You have faith, and I have hope.
The two remained quiet for some time as they picked their way along the trail down the mountainside.
I still do not understand,
Ava Frenfear admitted, when they came in sight of the lights of the Monastery of the Yellow Rose soon after sunset.
You make it sound as if the return to your mortal coil is a great feat of tremendous struggle.
It is. The younger monk shrugged.
When we went together beyond this body of mine, in the face of the great white dragon, the return seemed so easy,
Cain finished.
It seemed easy to you, because you did not initiate the transcendence, nor were you even aware of the action, and so you had not even begun to hear the music of the heavens or see the beauty of everything before I pulled you back into the being known as Ava Frenfear.
But you did so effortlessly.
Not as much as you believe, but yes, with each ascent beyond the mortal coil, the barriers to and from the place beyond become thinner. In that instance, the danger to us and to our friends was so immediate that it was a smooth return, I agree. We had to be there, or woe to those we loved.
But, Ava Frenfear said. He seemed to choke on the word and just shook his head.
You will come to better understand, Cain promised. Continue your studies. Make of perfection your mind and body. But I warn you, when you think yourself ready, and this could be years from now, and I may not still be here to guide you, in that first instance of transcendence, well, it might be your only one, and the utter end of Ava Frenfear in this existence.
So you have said, but why, Master? Ava Frenfear pressed. I know that my work here is not done. If I know that I am not ready to experience the next,
if there is a next, Cain put it.
If there is a next, Ava Frenfear agreed. If I know these things, then why do you suppose that I will forsake my mortal existence as a man?
Cain paused and considered that for a moment, then offered a kind smile to the younger monk. You have made love. The act itself and to completion, yes?
Ava Frenfear blushed.
Yes, of course. Then you know the moment when the body demands continuation, demands release?
Master, yes.
The body will not turn back, and the mental and emotional discipline needed to deny that call of ecstasy is enormous. When you transcend, you will know such joy, unrelenting, even building as time, which becomes meaningless, passes, yet the time to find the needed discipline. The denial of pure desire is short. And failure means that you will be forever removed from this existence.
Ava Frenfear just stared at him, jaw hanging open.
I know not how to put it more clearly or bluntly, the ancient monk answered that blank stare. You will not want to come back, and so you, as you are known and as you know yourself, will be no more.
Grandmaster Cain waited a few moments, as the weight of his words sank in for the visibly shaken Ava Frenfear, then asked,
Do you still wish to do this?
I do, the younger monk answered, but perhaps not quite yet.
When you are ready, said Cain.
How will I know?
When you are not afraid that you will not return, when you believe that you have learned here all that you wish to garner from this existence. It is not about sadness and weariness with life, no. Such a state of mind would make transcending the mortal form impossible. But rather, it is about fullness. Such fullness that you know there is little more room in this existence for anything new.
That is where you are?
That is where I have been for a century and more.
Yet you are still here.
Grandmaster Cain shrugged.
Somewhat, he answered cryptically. Part of me is still here. Part of me is removed forevermore.
Then tell me of the mystery.
I cannot.
That part of me which knows is not here.
I don't understand.
Then there is something more, even than transcending the physical form?
Cain shrugged again, prompting Afrafrenfir to restate, I don't understand.
Do not need to understand. Not now. Not yet. You have much yet to learn.
Then tell me, Grandmaster, what do I need to know now?
That you will not want to come back. That is all.